we have a friend in God, specifically a friend in Jesus. And it caused me to think, even as we were singing these songs, it reminded me of a situation. I was the chaplain of the American Legion for 15 years. And they always had me begin the meeting in prayer. And they always had me end the meeting in prayer. That was amazing, you know, just to do that. In between, though, I was like the bookends. The air was blue. And every once in a while, somebody would say something about Jesus Christ. And I was always happy to say, now, I am so glad you guys introduced that topic. I want to talk about him. He is my best friend. And I hope you feel that way about Jesus. I don't let people get away with just talking about him haphazardly. Somebody brings him up, I don't care who it is. I'm going to stop and say, that's my best friend. I want to talk about him. Do you know that he is? And you can go into so many things. After today, I hope you could go into a lot of things, because we want to talk about what did Jesus say about himself. And he had a lot to say. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, I want to give you thanks for this day, beautiful day that it is. Every day is a gift from you. And we know that, Father, there are some that are struggling right now. We pray for your blessing and your ministry in their life. We pray, Father, that they may depend upon this friend who you have given us, both now and forever. And Lord, that you would just help us to understand all the benefits that come from knowing you personally. You are our friend, and may you speak to our hearts this morning. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. This morning we want to talk about what Jesus said about himself. And there is a lot of things that Jesus said about himself. Let me get up here. And we want to take a look at some of those. At least five things, and then there's subpoints underneath that. But we'll be looking at a lot of what the Scripture says. What actually did Jesus say about himself? What are we to know about Jesus Christ? And how do we communicate that to others? So Jesus acknowledged some very important things about himself. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning. First of all, Jesus referred to himself as a man. And so here we're going to look at each of these points. Jesus said, I am a man. You say, well, no, he's my Savior. Let's talk about what Jesus said about himself. You know, in the book of Philippians, it says that though he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man. And being found fashioned as a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus in his manhood, like you and I, was willing to go to the cross. We talked about that last week. Jesus is a man. In fact, the book of Hebrews says this, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Yes, Jesus has a body. Someday when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to go up and put your arms around his neck. I mean, that'd be kind of scary because he is still God as well. But he has a physical body. You can see the marks in his hands. You can see the feet in his the holes in his feet. And he is a man, and he will be a man forever. So he goes by the name Jesus. And here, a number of references. First there, when Philip and Nathanael were looking for a Messiah, they came across this person named Jesus. And he said, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. Who's that? Jesus Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And so we see that his name is called Jesus. And the angels, as they gave the message to Mary, the message was, she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. Do you know what the name Jesus means? It comes from the word Joshua. Joshua and Jesus mean the same thing. One is just the Hebrew pronunciation. It is, in fact, God's is salvation. And that is a very appropriate name for Jesus. He brought the salvation of God to mankind. So he had parents, just like everybody. He had Mary and Joseph. At one time, Jesus stayed behind when his parents took him to Jerusalem. And he stayed behind at the temple, and his parents went frantic. Where is Jesus? I kind of get the picture that maybe this was his bar mitzvah. And he stayed there to question the religious leaders. And he had enough knowledge to where he could question even the religious leaders of his day. And so his mother Mary said, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And so we see that Jesus did, just like you and I, had a father and a mother who cared for him and loved him in his man condition. Now, when he came to his own town, they recognized him as the carpenter's son. I used to do a little bit of carpentry. Some of you know that. And I always thought, if I had a bumper sticker that I put on the back of my car, I don't like doing that, but I would put this one. My boss is a Jewish carpenter. And Jesus was the son of a carpenter, and he was a carpenter himself. How would you like to have a table that Jesus made? Wow. That would be fantastic. Well, the town says he is the son of a carpenter. His mother's called Mary. And then get this. He had brothers named James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And he had sisters. You know, some say, well, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And that was it. She was a virgin for her life. I don't think so. Because the other children came by natural means. And their father was Joseph. Jesus had a stepfather named Joseph, and God was his father. Well, he also had a lineage. That is, he was a descendant of David. The angel said, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. You know, you look down the corridors of history, you say, well, eventually that person that came to this world in a manger is going to take the throne of David and rule during at least a 1,000-year reign. And he's going to rule for an extended period of time. And then the Gospels say that he's going to turn it over to the Father eventually. But he is going to rule on the throne of David because that is his lineage. In Matthew 13, when he came to his own hometown, they said, well, he's just the carpenter. But here they said that he is not just the carpenter. He is also the son of the king. Now, in the book of Revelation, and by the way, it isn't Revelations, it's one revelation. And it is a revelation that was given by Jesus Christ himself. And in that book, he identifies himself. And he says, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. So you think, well, that book of Revelation was written after Jesus went to heaven. And he is still referring to himself as a descendant of David. Because he is going to rule and reign on the throne of David. Well, not only did he say that I'm a man, he also said, I am God. Have you ever heard people say, nowhere in the New Testament does it say that Jesus is God? Well, I would say this. Either they are purposely trying to deceive people, or they are ignorant. Take your choice. The Bible does have in it that Jesus is God. In fact, even listen to this Old Testament prophecy. It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Get this next one. Mighty God. Wow. Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. This is Jesus we're talking about. He is called the Eternal Father. Kind of reminds me of how John began his gospel. You know what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That's what we're talking about. Some say, well, no, it actually says the word is a God. It does not. I read it in the Greek. I know what it says. It does not say that he is a God. It says that he is God. And so we understand that Jesus said that he was God as well. But isn't it interesting? As Jesus went out to perform the miracles in his own time, he would come across people who were demon-possessed. Have you ever encountered somebody like that? Frightful. Jesus knew exactly how to deal with them. And he said, "You demon, head to hell. Go there." And they would have to leave. And they would cry out. And here's what they would say. "What business do we have to do with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God." Isn't that interesting? The first, I would say creatures, can't say people. The first, it was the demons. They acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God. That is to say, they acknowledged Jesus as God in the flesh. So what? How about the Pharisees? Now, the Pharisees just couldn't grasp this, but they had to acknowledge that Jesus was saying that he was the Son of God. Here's what they said. The Jews were seeking all the more to kill him because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. The Jews said, "You're saying these kind of things. You're saying that you're equal with God. You're saying that you are the Son of God. You are saying that you're going to sit on the throne of David." And the Pharisees understood that what Jesus was saying was that he was claiming himself to be God. And so how about Jesus himself? You haven't got to what Jesus was actually saying. How about in John 3:16? And this is Jesus speaking. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That is to say, his one and only Son. Jesus is the Son of God. If you keep reading in that passage in John 3, you get down to verse 18 and it says this, "The Jews were seeking all the more to kill him because he was calling himself the Son of God." And then in 3:18, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." This is Jesus. This is Jesus saying, "I am the Son of God." But not only that, you can stop with the "I am." Jesus also referred to himself as the "I am." Why is that important? Remember all the way back in the book of Exodus, Moses is having a face-to-face contact with the Father, with God. And he's saying, "Who should I tell the people has sent me?" Remember what God responded? He said, "You tell them, I am, has sent you. I am what I am." And so this reference to Jesus being "I am," the Jews understood it perfectly. Jesus was declaring himself to be "I am." Oh, you can't get around that. He's talking about the eternal God. And so Jesus said this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." He didn't say, "Before Abraham was born, I was." You know, you kind of expect that. No, he chose the very words of deity. And he said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." He went on to say that the Father and I are one. And in both these cases, the Jews picked up stones immediately to stone him because they understood exactly what he was saying. They understood that he was saying, "I am the eternal God." Not only that, he is the Almighty. You know, sometimes we encounter these little, I shouldn't say little, excuse me. Sometimes we encounter these people carrying briefcases from door to door. And they want to give you a message about God's kingdom. I know that all of us here have had a confrontation with these folks. They want to have a Bible study with you. And, you know, as you study the Bible with them, they point out that the Bible does not mention the word Trinity. And you know what? They're absolutely right. Nowhere in the Bible do you find the word Trinity. But what you do find is you have the Father referred to as God, you have the Son referred to as God, you have the Holy Spirit referred to as God. How are you going to handle that? There are three persons, but there is only one God. And that one God is the Almighty God. You know, we're not trying to say that there's three gods. No. That's not the Trinity. There's one God, three persons, not three people. There's only one people in there, and that's Jesus. But there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is the Almighty God. So again, going back to the book of Revelation. Here's how the book of Revelation begins. It says this, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds." Who is coming with the clouds? Well, a lot of other scripture talk about it's Jesus who's coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. We're definitely talking about Jesus here. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. And then a big amen. You can say amen too. Amen. That's who we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus, the one coming in the clouds, the one that every eye will see. How about over in the back of the book of Revelation? Revelation 22, verse 12. "Behold, I am coming quickly." we're talking about Jesus again. Are you looking for the coming of our Savior? It could come any day, my friends. I see what's happening in our world today, and I read the Old Testament, and I read the Bible, and I go, Lord, it's any day, isn't it? You're coming any day now. He's coming quickly, he says, "and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he's done." And then these words, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and end." Is there any question that we're talking about Jesus here? I mean, even the Jehovah's Witnesses don't have trouble with this. They say, oh, no, that's talking about Jesus. Now compare that with the words found in Revelation 1, verse 7. They're really the same, aren't they? And how does that passage end up in Romans 1? "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come." We're talking about Jesus. And then it adds these words. And this is Jesus speaking. "The Almighty." Yes, Jesus referred to himself as the Almighty God. Sorry, Jehovah's Witnesses. You need to understand what the scripture says. I remember going to, I had these Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house, and they said, well, we'd like to bring someone else along. And they came back a couple of times to talk to me about the Bible. And then they brought back the leader of the whole district in Central California. And I talked with him a little bit. I said, listen, I'd like to come and talk to you some more. Can I come to your house and I will just bring the truth that leads to eternal life, that's their book, and the Epipologot, that's their Greek translation. And he said, oh, great, yeah, come to my house. So I got there to this gentleman who has gone to so many other doors, and I was there in his home, showing him from the truth that leads to eternal life a number of contradictions. And I kept on saying to him, which one is true? You say this here, and it says this here. Which one's true? And he kept on going, shaking his head, going, I don't know. I've never seen that before. And I said, well, hey, listen, let's look at the Epipologot. That's your work, right? Printed by the New World Translation. They said, yes, it is, proudly. I said, okay, let's read in it. And I read these verses to him. And I said, do you see that Jesus is called the Almighty? And they said, oh boy. No, they believe that there's only one Almighty. And Jesus is a mighty God. He turned red in the face. He says, we're through. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. He couldn't come to grips, even with what his own literature said about Jesus being the Almighty God. Jesus didn't stop there. He also said, I'm a king. You know, this is why Rome persecuted him. And this is, the Jews claimed that he was God, and so they persecuted him for that. But they were able to get mileage with the Roman leaders because they said Jesus said he was a king. Jesus did admit to being a king. In fact, right from his birth onward, as the Magi came to Bethlehem to look for the king of Israel. And that must have been a really tough one for Herod, because Herod considered himself the king. And so Herod checks with his scholars, and they say, well, the king is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Tell him to check Bethlehem. And they did. And it says that they ask, where is the king of the Jew being born? We've come from the east to worship him. And you know how the story goes. They went to Bethlehem, and they found Jesus there with Mary. He was probably a toddler at this age, and they worshiped him and gave him gold, myrrh, and frankincense. That's another sermon. We'll talk about that later. But they worshiped him as a king. Now, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And he said, it is as you say. Did Jesus ever call himself a king? Well, this is as close as it came. He said, you've called me a king, and you are right. I think, yes, Jesus called himself a king. He also called himself Lord. When he was talking with the disciples, he said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. So Jesus says, I'm the Lord. And when Thomas got to see the resurrected Jesus after he had denied him, he saw Jesus, and Jesus said, put your fingers in my hands, and thrust your hand to my side, and see that it is I. And Thomas fell on his face before the Lord, and he said, my Lord and my God. He acknowledged Jesus as Lord. How about the rank in heaven? I love this. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. That's who he is. He rules every king of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from a sin by his blood. And then towards the end of the book of Revelation, we see the Lord Jesus Christ returning to the earth. Revelation 19. This is after the marriage supper of the Lamb. After the church is up there having this celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb with Jesus, Jesus says, it's time. It's time for me to go. And he hops on a horse with the believers who are at the dinner following him. And he comes down to put an end to all hostilities on the earth. And it says there on his robe and on his thigh is a name written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus is. Well, what else did he say? He also said that he was the Messiah, the Christ. Messiah is the Jewish name for the Anointed One. Christ is the Greek name for the Anointed One. Most of the New Testament is written in Greek. So we don't have a lot of references to the Messiah in the New Testament. There's like five of them. And we only have reference to the Messiah in one place in the Old Testament. In Daniel 9, 25 to 26. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 weeks for the walls to be restored, another 62 weeks, 69 total, for the Prince, the Messiah, to come. You know what I find terribly exciting? Is when Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem. We call it Palm Sunday, right? It says that the disciples were crying out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That was something that was supposed to be reserved for the Messiah. And the Pharisees came along and said, Master, tell your disciples to quiet down. And what Jesus said is amazing. If they keep quiet, the rocks will cry out. You see, if you work these numbers in Daniel 9, this is the prophecy that got me to admit that the Bible is the Word of God. It pinpoints the exact day that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem. A prophecy given 500 years before Christ came. It is the exact day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and they claimed him, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is the Messiah. He is acknowledged as the anointed one. Here's one of the references in Matthew 1, verse 16. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, not the father of Jesus, but by whom Jesus was born, Mary. And he is called the Messiah. One of the references, Jesus is called the Messiah. Simon Peter, who do men say that I am? And some say Elijah. Some say John the Baptist raised up. Who do you say that I am? You are Christ, the Son of the living God. His disciples knew it. How about the woman at the well? Here's the closest thing we come to Jesus actually saying that he was the Messiah. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. That's pretty close, isn't it? To Jesus actually saying, I am the Messiah. Well, Daniel 7 talks about a Messiah in a different way. Daniel 7 refers to the Messiah as the Son of Man. Now, this is interesting. It says in Daniel 7, verse 13, I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days, was presented before him, and to him, the Son of Man, was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. That's the Messiah. That's Jesus. He is the Son of Man. You know, when Jesus was out telling people who he was, this was his most popular statement. I am the Son of Man. 84 times in the New Testament, he refers to himself as the Son of Man. In Matthew 24, verse 30, kind of going along with this prophecy, he said this, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with sky, come on clouds of sky with power and great glory. Jesus referred to himself in the future as the Son of Man, but also in the present, the here and now. For the Son of Man is going to come in glory of his Father and his angels, and he will repay every man according to his deeds. Jesus is the Son of Man. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is vindicated of her deeds. You know, just because your opponents say something about you doesn't make it true. We have a lot of that going on. You guys know it. A lot of people say bad things about the opponent that aren't even true, but yet sometimes they stick. They accused Jesus of being a glutton and a drunkard, and he was neither. But what he was the Son of Man. That is, it connected him to the rest of mankind. It talked about the fact that one day, for God so loved the world, and God demonstrated why we were yet Jesus. It also talks about referring to Jesus as the Son of Man. I want to close just with this thought. You can refer to Jesus as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's all of that. You can say he's the Messiah, he's the Christ, he's the one who's coming. He is indeed. But the most important title that you should have of him, he is my Savior. That is who he is. And this is the main passage of the book of Isaiah. It talks about his ministry. It says, surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Has he healed you? That's why the Messiah came. He wanted to bring a spiritual healing. He wanted to bring a forgiveness of sins to you. Remember that first, one of his first miracles at Capernaum. I've heard it referred to as the Capernaum caper. Guys got up there and they removed the roof and they lowered the sky down before Jesus. And Jesus said, what did he say? Your sins are forgiven. Well, wait a minute. No, we're lowering them down so you'll heal them. Healing's going to come. Your sins are forgiven. See, that's what a Savior does. He forgives sin. The angel, when he gave announcement of Jesus, he said, "You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You know, Savior is only used three times in the Gospels. You think, well, why does it use more than that? Jesus never directly refers himself as the Savior, but he does say this, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." I have a friend, John Sweat. That was the verse that reached him. He was of Jewish background, and in that story about Nicodemus, where he referred to Nicodemus, "This too is a son of Abraham." And then it says of Jesus, "He came to seek and to save that which was lost." And my friend John said, "That's it. I want that Savior to be my Savior. I want to experience the healing that he promised." John the Baptist said he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth or of the world. He deserves the title of being the Savior. He deserves that title. In fact, the disciples and apostles, they went out to proclaim Christ, and they're brought in before the Sanhedrin, and this is what took place. He said, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men which by you must be saved." That's it. Jesus deserves the title a Savior. There's no other name. So what did Jesus say? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." Sounds pretty much like he was saying, "I am the Savior of the world." Is he your Savior? That's the most important thing. You can say all these different titles, but is he your Savior? So what do? Well, I think we get real. Acknowledge who Jesus really is, and then get ready to do something. Because Jesus said this, "Unless you repent, you're going to perish." Okay? I need to repent. John caught it this way. He said, "If we say that we have no sin," if you say that, "you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." You want a new life? You want a new start? You want to look at the old and say, "The old is old, but I am moving forward with Christ as my Savior." He will forgive you of every sin if you repent, if you confess to him. So how about it? Will you acknowledge what Jesus says about himself? He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. Will you confess that? And will you invite him to be your Savior? Father, it is so amazing that you, holy God, who cannot look upon sin with favor, have made a way for us to have eternal life. Not through our own efforts, by simply believing in Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess you as the Son of God. We confess you as our Savior. Come into our heart, come into our life, and change us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.